cause we got the alternative energy. Behind me, kill our free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Kia ora koutou, you're listening to the Radioactive Show here on 3CR in Nam, Melbourne on Wurrung Wurundjeri lands and spread across the continent on the Community Radio Network. Today we're turning our attention to AUKUS Pillar 2, a security pact that is quietly shaping the future of this region. While much of the public conversation has focused on submarines under Pillar 1, Pillar 2 is about something more diffuse and in many ways more far-reaching, advanced military technologies. We're talking artificial intelligence, cyber warfare, quantum technologies, surveillance systems, the infrastructure of what war now looks like. And here in so-called Australia, this is being positioned as innovation, as jobs, as security. But we have to ask, secure for who and at what cost? To help us think through some of these big questions and around what AUKUS Pillar 2 really is, I'm honoured to be joined by Dr. Scheherazade Bloul, a researcher, a writer, an educator, and a good friend of mine, whose work critically examines the role of the university in AUKUS Pillar 2, as well as militarisation, technology, and empire more broadly. Dr. Bloul, thank you so much for being here.
So folks that listen to the Radioactive Show are pretty behind or understanding of what Pillar 1 and the submarine clause entails. Mm-hmm. But could you educate us around what Pillar 2 includes and how that is different from the submarine deal?
Yeah, sure. So as most of your listeners would know, the AUKUS has been mostly framed around the submarine deals. But I think perhaps what's more important in terms of the long durée of militarism is the Pillar 2, right? So AUKUS, as we know, is a trilateral partnership between the United States, Australia, and the UK. It was announced in 2021, and in 2021 with Scott Morrison, Biden, and Boris Johnson. And so it was announced at a time, like if we think about the time that it was announced, we've got China as a serious threat to Western powers, or like that's how they frame it, but as a threat to the power of Western states, which is like a different thing, right? So a threat to their kind of like imperial hegemony of around the world, and so part of that threat, in the eyes of the state and in the eyes of the empire, part of that threat is the technological advancements in China. And also the kind of monopolies around the supply chains of those technological advancements. So mainly around these, what they would call critical technologies, which is around kind of cyber technologies, quantum computing, these kinds of things. And that is going to lead to Pillar 2. And obviously also on the military front, even though we know that China doesn't really pose a threat and is probably not that interested in kind of engaging in a military conflict with the West. There's been kind of no indication of that. We know like through several initiatives, like the Belt and Road Initiative, for example, that, yeah, the threat is one of power. Yeah. So anyway, that's the context in which this, like, I remember watching it. It was like such a like farcical performance of these three kind of like so-called state leaders around like I can't even remember where it was, but it was like, yeah, there was like a naval ship in the background, and you know, it was a sunny day, and Biden was wearing his aviators, and you know, and then they made this, you know, kind of like, it was a huge kind of like patriarchal posture of like this announcement, which was meant to like kind of reify Anglo supremacy, right? You got the three kind of, you got two Anglo major powers, which is obviously the US and the UK, and then you got like, you know,
the kind of like colonial sidekick, which is the Australian Robin stage.
Of the colonies.
This is a very long way to say I'm getting to pillar two. So the whole thing was so there was the naval ships in the background, and then we're talking about submarines. We cancelled the when I'm saying we, I'm pretending to be the Australian state here. I don't believe that I am part of that. But you know, we cancelled the Australian state cancelled its contract with the French for their diesel submarines. That caused a big hoo-ha. You know, there was a big kind of like kerfuffle around that. Speaks to the particular Anglo thing that we can come back to. So the particular Anglo Empire kind of framing and solidifying that we're seeing coming out of AUKUS. The whole thing was around the submarines. There was a big kerfuffle around cancelling the French contract. The Australian state lost a lot of money and then is going to lose even more money because it's going to buy these so-called, thinks it's going to buy these so-called submarines. But we kind of can see that maybe the submarines are never going to come. And people kind of like whatever about it, because I think the main thing is creating a framework to advance military technologies, which is what AUKUS Pillar 2 is, okay? So that's a very long way to get to AUKUS Pillar 2.
No, it's important to have the context of how, you know, it emerged and yeah, thank you, yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah, AUKUS Pillar 2 is literally enhancing and building up particular military technology capabilities around areas of specific concern. Tell me what the list is.
AI, quantum computing, cyber, hypersonics, and autonomous systems.
And so I think what all that means is everything that's related to what they call advanced capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. Which includes not just quantum computing as a specific thing, but it includes everything that's around that, you know. Hypersonics, for example, I don't know if that was on the list, but yeah, anyway, that it also includes all the electronics that kind of go into that. It also includes things like space exploration, that kind of stuff. So it's like it's actually quite a huge area. I think the interesting part of this is a lot of it is dual use, and dual use pretty much means used for military and civilian purposes, right? So technologies like any kind of cyber technology, for example, is a really good example of that, right? So AI or like large language models are deployed for civilians, as we know, but they're also, as we've seen with the genocide in Gaza, and as we're seeing with what's going on in Iran right now, they're also deployed by the military, right? So exactly the same companies like OpenAI, who owns ChatGPT, or even like Anthropic, who've been in the news because they've so-called cancelled a Department of War contract. Their technologies have actually already been used and are used by the American military and the Department of War in the US. And they also have technologies like Claude, which is Anthropic's large language model, or, you know, ChatGPT, which is OpenAI's large language models. Mm. But, yeah, these are, like, specific areas of interest because also the ways, when you look at like the national defense strategy, for example, that Australia releases every 2 years, it's about to release one this year, but the last one we released in 2024 kind of identifies information warfare as an area in which, and that includes disinformation, for example. You know, when we hear disinformation, there's also like, yeah, some of it is foreign states. So these are areas that the kind of, and I think just proves that the ways in which warfare is conducted it's been a long time since been on the battlefield. Yeah, it's like that vision of the military warfare is completely different now because it's also about, different kind of campaigns of, what they call it, information warfare. Yeah. And for the state, that's a key area of defence investment, right?
Yeah. And with that, that's really interesting with the dual part of like civilians and the entanglement with military. Within AUKUS Pillar 2, and something that you're particularly interested in too, is like the development, say, of civilian research done and conducted at universities for the purpose specifically towards these military technologies. Can you speak towards that?
Yeah, yeah. And so I should have also said that AUKUS Pillar 2 is also about developing, so it's developing these technologies, right? But it's also about what the Australian state is interested in is developing sovereign capability. They always talk about sovereign capability. And we're talking about the Australian state's idea of sovereign capability.
Good to clarify.
And so that means investing a lot of money in small to medium businesses and enterprises that can manufacture and make these types of technologies. And so I've been to like a few kind of Australian British Chamber of Commerce events. I'm on their mailing list, not because I particularly love entering it, but because I want to hear what people are saying. I want to hear what these big international companies, war companies, are saying, and how they're extending their know-how and training small to medium enterprises in Australia, and how people articulate that. And so when I did go to some of their events, the way it's talked about is, oh yeah, we really, you know, we're trying to have a manufacturing hub because we don't want to just rely on mining. Firstly, a supply chain where everything can be extracted and then made in Australia, and we don't have to rely on China, for example. So we want a supply chain that's like durable. The second thing they talk about is also, oh yeah, we're reviving the car manufacturing. So since Gillard, actually, and this is actually quite interesting, because under the Gillard government, it was actually they actually went to these huge war companies like Lockheed Martin. They facilitated kind of these old car manufacturers to be able to make parts for the 35 jet, and that was like back in 2000s. And that's what we see today, as we know, with the Palestine movement. That's been kind of like, it was already exposed because it was available on the Department of Defense website. But like, you know, because they were proud of it. They're like, oh yeah, look at all the parts that we're sending out. And these are the old car manufacturing bits, you know, so that like people would make like screws or whatever for the Holden cars. Now you can make screws for the F-35 jets. So like they're the same kind of companies. And that's talked about, like the big bosses or the local bosses of BAE Systems and Thales talk about reviving that manufacturing hub. And so they talked about that in, you know, I think I went 2 years ago, I think in 2024 or something, to one of these events. But then also sometimes we think, oh, it's all kind of just started now. AUKUS has just all kind of started now. But I think just gives people a framework and the government a framework, because this militarization has been going on for a while. So I mentioned the Gillard in the early 2000s and the kind of old car manufacturing. But during the Turnbull government, for example, they released in 2016, they released a white paper when Christopher Pine was defence minister, saying that, oh, we're going, you know, Christopher Pine was like, yeah, we're going to be in the next 10 years or several decades, we're going to be one of the top 10 exporters of defence technologies. Like that was their vision of a post-car manufacturing Australian industry landscape. So there was a very clear push by the government to go into manufacturing or to go into kind of defense industries.
Right.
And I think with technology, with back to the dual use thing, and with these kind of internet technologies, that's kind of all been meshed up into one. When you look at, like, for example, in Silicon Valley, a lot of the contracts are all defense contracts. That's where the money's coming from. And so you've got, so while they're developing civilian stuff, they're also developing or doing whatever defense contract that they might have.
Alongside
Alongside
each other.
And then there's some there's some interesting other things that have becoming more and more obvious, you know, out of these AUKUS deals. For example, the critical minerals, the critical minerals stuff that that Donald Trump signed last year with Albanese. There's like several Australian companies that have had, I think one of them, it's like Estelle Project. It's a company based in Caulfield.
Yeah.
You can look them up. I think they're, Nova Minerals. So that's a company headquartered in, it's an Australian company headquartered in Caulfield. And they had like a huge, like $40 million or billion dollar contract called the Estelle Project, which is to develop critical minerals extraction in Alaska. So the Department of War in 2025, you know, around the same time that they signed that critical minerals deal, announced that it's like a further $43.4 million to further this kind of Alaska project, which was who was like led by Nova Minerals, which was exporting their know-how extraction from Australia to Alaska.
For listeners that may not know what critical minerals are or what that term is, it's kind of the new frontier of mining. Can you explain what critical minerals are?
Yeah, sure. So critical minerals are defined by states usually on areas that are like on minerals that they need, that they think are needed for particular industries that are important. So they can shift, but they're usually around minerals needed for digital technologies and for war technologies, which are like the same thing. And sometimes they talk about sustainable technologies as well. But like there's specific minerals that are just for like weapons, for example, that you don't find in digital technologies, but a lot of them are dual use as well.
Yeah.
Again, back to China. China has a monopoly over critical minerals. And Australia, this is part of AUKUS as well, which is part of like disrupt China's monopoly over the whole supply chain around all these technologies. Yeah, and Australia is really trying to position itself as key exporter of minerals. And also you can see the mining boom 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Alongside that, we're going to improve our industrial base.
Kia ora anō, you're listening to The Radioactive Show on 3CR. Today we're sharing a conversation that I had with Dr. Scheherazade Bluhl unpacking AUKUS Pillar 2 a couple of weeks ago. So we'll continue into that conversation and we'll be back in probably 10 or so minutes. Enjoy, whānau.
I think the idea of this interview came out of I gave this paper with a colleague, Sean McMorrow, because they're writing a paper on what's going on in universities in relation to militarization and what that means in terms of possible or acceptable or rational knowledge. Yeah. And so to look at that, we're looking at like the political economy of that within the university landscape, because we know that ever since AUKUS was announced, and this is directly linked to Pillar 2, which is developing advanced capabilities, right, which means developing technologies. To develop technologies, you need to research, you need to do all this stuff. So universities would play are positioning themselves as central to this as well, alongside industry and the Department of Defence. Yeah. And so this nexus between industry, academia, and the state, or particularly defence, but the state more broadly at large, it's not just like a neoliberalisation. It's what you would refer to as a military-industrial academic complex, because you're pretty much looking at the economy of it, which is like, oh, the money is being funneled in particular directions for particular purposes, right? And so universities have already like been hit hard by dwindling research funding within that space. So over the past few decades, universities have been selling themselves through like industry partnerships, that kind of stuff. So there's already been like kind of like a neoliberalization of the university space. Part of that was due to a lack of state funding. I think it dropped by something like 46% since 1995, and that's thanks to obviously successive Liberal governments. But not just that, a broader kind of neoliberalisation around around the world, right? And so within that context of a lot of universities then look to, yeah, industry, but also to international students. As we know, international students pay through the roof for these degrees. And then within that space, then AUKUS comes along and they're like, oh, okay, this is a good way to position our work that we've already been doing because we've been partnering with industry. Some of that industry is obviously defence. One of the first, and this comes back to 2016 when Turnbull, under the Turnbull government, but Pine was the defence minister then, released that kind of industry defence white paper. One of the first kind of labs, test this as well, was the Stellar Lab in the University of Melbourne, which was Lockheed Martin's kind of advanced research and development facility. And now it's called Advanced Systems and Technologies. So the first for that was a first for the company outside of the US. And so then AUKUS comes along and we've kind of already got all this research that we're doing in everywhere from quantum computing to electronic. Two of their frontiers that they're particularly interested in is space and undersea, because these frontiers are meant to be international spaces. They're not territorialized, right? So deep sea is not territorialized. There's no state that owns the deep sea. You can see that there's like efforts right now to kind of control. There's projections of the future around space, obviously. But yeah, there's projections of supremacy, right, on who's going to control these non-territorialized spaces. But I just want to go back to
Let's go back to the university.
and kind of the changes that we're seeing in the university space arising out of AUKUS. And so, yeah, there's a few reports that we could look at. There's Universities Australia, but there's particularly the Group of Eight, which are the big fancy universities that have the most kind of like clout and power and money in the state of in on this continent. So they released a document called the Curated Capability AUKUS Pillar 2, where they kind of just show, they've done all the research. Like I don't even need to go and look at which department's having all these contracts, because they've already announced, oh, look at all this defence aligned work that we do. We're really important and central to AUKUS. So you need to include us in all the discussions and that kind of stuff. And we can see that recently the Group of Eight key people from the Australian university sector, including TAFE as well, have just signed a bunch of contracts in the UK with a variety of military people in the UK, but also other universities in the UK, precisely to do this pact and to do this kind of technology work to accelerate and to go beyond what China is doing, right? And they're trying to pull that with Australia, US and the UK. To do that, also, the UK government, US government and the Australian government have had to bring in new legislation, changes or amendments to existing legislation in order to be able to transfer knowledge between the states, right? And to transfer and to safeguard that knowledge so it doesn't get transferred to foreign or hostile states, right? So there's two particular changes in the Defence Trades Control Act. So an amendment passed in 2024. The first one that's important is to facilitate the technology transfer between the AUKUS nations by creating the licence-free environment. And so and in late December 2023, this similar legislation was passed in the UK and the US that exempts each of these countries from particular arms trades regulations and licensing requirements. The second one, the second important thing of that particular amendment of the Defence Trade Controls Act is new categories of offences that have an expanded definition of what supply is. So there's a new section 10A that captures the supply of dual-use technology to a foreign person in Australia. So the expanded definition of supply, so that makes it like, you know, illegal to do that. The expanded definition of supplying a technology, which would now include providing access to and captures the supply. So that means that the first scenario could capture an Australian presenting information constituting a dual-use technology at a public forum, like a particular technology that's obviously protected, okay, it's not going to be like everything, right? Or a presentation where a foreign person is in attendance. And the second scenario would capture an Australian company disclosing information constituting a protected technology to its employee who is not a citizen or permanent resident of Australia, the UK or the US. So there's a particular racialization process that's going to happen through these particular new laws that have come in to accelerate the expansion of these technologies, right? And that's like that's particularly important for like researchers, for example, because what you're saying and what people imagine as an Australian and a UK citizen and a US citizen, I think is definitely a white person. Not only, and not excluding, because I know there's like it's like a diverse landscape in engineering and all those places. But yeah, I think there would be more stringent controls. The way in which people conceptualize what an Australian, what a British person is and what an American is, yeah, a white man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, and there's like an exemption for the provision to include training to a Five Eyes partner, which is obviously also other Anglophone countries of Canada and so-called New Zealand. There we go.
Welcome back. You've been listening to the Radioactive Show here in Melbourne on 3CR and spread across the whole continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. We've been in conversation today with Dr. Scheherazade Blue, giving us the 101 and the 102 and maybe the 103 of AUKUS Pillar 2. It's been an awesome conversation. I know I've learnt a lot, and we hope to speak more about AUKUS Pillar 2 with Scheherazade in future. So keep on listening, keep coming back. I'm going to end this show today with a song by the late, the great, the revolutionary mystic and also prophet, and I would say genius, Bob Marley, from his album Survival, Wanderer.